the process of OLAP is that there will be data sources which will be collecting your data. All the data stores, sources will be further collecting the data into a data warehouse. From the data warehouse, OLAP cubes will be created. These cubes will have information at a multi-dimension level and multi-aggregated level so that you can draw the data as you want, and then these will be used by the users. User will actually be accessing these cubes to store the data or to fetch the data as they want to see. As an example, let's suppose one transaction is storing the employees or the retail's transaction history, the other source is collecting the product information, or both these information will be collected into a single data warehouse, from where the transaction as well as product information will be collected. Then they will be aggregated and will be converted into cube in OLAP cubes. And then if in case as a user I want to analyze that which product has maximum sale with respect to transaction data and with respect to product table, I will be combining the two and will be taking out the information out from the same cube to understand which product is the highest selling product and which product is the least selling product. To access the OLAP, there are OLAP viewers which helps you identify or take out the data from OLAP. Few of the examples are, there is Microsoft Excel. Everybody is aware of Microsoft Excel tool, which is a very, very efficient and powerful tool with respect to data analysis. Microsoft Excel is one of the most popular interfaces of OLAP data. They actually provide you an interface where multiple type of data can easily be accessed and used. Excel continues to be important OLAP interface, but in addition, user can explore data via OLAP servers as well. You would have noticed that when you go to the data tab, you can actually fetch out the data from various sources and then get that data into Excel and analyze it further. This is the power of Excel. It can give you a OLAP view with respect to any form of data and can collect data from any source. It can facilitate and manage transactions oriented applications, can do data entry for you. You can easily retrieve transaction processing. You can also refer to various informations. Few examples are, automated teller machine or ATM for a bank is an example of how online transaction processing data is fetched or analyzed. As an example, when you go to ATM to draw certain money, what you will be doing is you will be going to the ATM, you will be entering your card will be read by ATM machine, then you will enter certain PIN code, it will verify your PIN code, if it matches, it will allow you to enter the amount. You enter the amount, it will check for the balance whether it is available or not. Then it will check whether those notes are available and will give you the required money. So this is one step or one process. So all this process will be happening in a sequential manner, wherein all the validation will be happening at the back end. A continuous processing unit will be working parallelly and will giving you the resultant output. We talked about OLAP data, OLAP servers, wherein data was processed and sequentially stored and processed and stored in cubes from where you were getting the data, and it was parallelly being used for processing. Then there is different form of data known as OLTP, which is online transaction processing data. So it's a sequential data wherein one transaction is being processed from A to point Z and all the validations happens in between. To give you one example, if we go to ATM machine, what we will be doing is we will be entering our card, then our machine will read the card and then it will allow you to enter certain PIN code. If you enter those PIN, it will validate that PIN with respect to whether it is actually your PIN or not. If PIN successfully gets executed, it will ask you for the amount that you want to withdraw. You will enter your amount. It will validate whether your that amount is available in your balance or not. If it is available, you will be allowed to fetch that amount from your balance and then transaction will close. In all these things, a complete transaction happened with multiple validations, multiple processings, and all those things actually happened parallelly and this whole transaction happened. So this particular sequence or complete sequence is known as an online transaction processing, wherein every information is processed parallelly. Your bank will immediately know that you have done this transaction. They will send you an SMS that you have done this transaction. They will store the same information in their database, that this person has deducted few amount from their actual balance and now new balance is should be reflected. All those information will be stored accordingly. So when you are talking about OLTP, OLTP basically means online transaction processing. It is a class of program that facilitates and manages transactions oriented applications. So each level of transaction actually deals with or interacts with a lot of applications. Data entry and retrieval transactions in a number of industries happens via OLTP. Probably it is the most widely installed OLTP products is IBM CICS. This is one example where this type of processing happens. When you are talking about OLTP transaction, you need to first understand what type of structure it follows. We were talking about OLAP earlier, wherein we saw that it is a continuous process wherein one server has the data, then it is being stored in a data source, then the cube is created and then the user will access it. But a different type of structure is followed in case of OLTP. Here everything is dependent on a client and server relationship, wherein client will ask for certain information and server will fetch that information to the client. Now here, when I am saying client and server, both client as well as server are actually the systems which are interacting with each other. So they are processing and doing multiple transactions with each other and doing multiple validations parallelly. Each computer connected to the system can operate independently but has the ability to communicate with other external devices and computers. As an example, when there is a client, it will have multiple servers and it can take decision all of its own, and if it requires to fetch certain information, it will talk to other servers. The server will be giving the communication or will giving the information, and that information will be utilized to take further action. All these things happens parallelly between a client system and a server system. When you have maintained a OLTP server, you need to have certain requirements. These are generally large applications and you need efficient OLTP which may require sophisticated transactions to complete. So you need that effective softwares. They are integrated into a service oriented architectures and web services. As an example, you might be using net banking of a particular bank. Now when you are doing net banking, they created a web interface for you so that you can easily do your transactions. So when you are doing login into your net banking account, you are doing certain transaction and that transaction is complete. Now everything is updated into your system. Now all these things has to be dealt parallelly. Your system is actually dealing with multiple servers which are storing your actual information, how much balance you had, then was populating it accordingly. When you did transaction, it was updating it parallelly at the back end. But your front end is giving you the information that you want. And at the back end, it is processing and doing multiple things parallelly to give you the accurate information and store your information accurately via doing multiple transactions between clients and server systems. The biggest benefit of OLTP servers are their simplicity. You can easily maintain and do or create a validated transactions between two systems, and it has a efficiency since it is dealing with multiple systems and are able to fetch out the necessary information timely and efficiently. You can easily utilize them. You don't need to manually do all the things via paper and pen. There are systems which will maintain all your informations, and there will be more accurate forecast of revenues, expenses and other information that can be created via OLTP servers. So to precisely define the advantages of OLTP, they are faster, they are accurate, they can help you create forecast of revenues or expenses. They provide a concrete foundation of stable organization because every organization is able to maintain multiple transactions parallelly. It makes the transaction much easier on behalf of the customer by allowing them to make the payment according to their choice. As an example, if I am using a net banking or the credit card payment, all these transactions, they are different type of transactions, but they will happen and will deduct the amount from the right source will update my details at the right place, and my balances will be updated accordingly to the right source. So it broadens the customer base for the organization. I have more flexibility as a customer. At the back end, there are many systems which are processing, but on the front end, a customer is benefiting from this particular service. With advantages, though, there comes disadvantages as well, and there are disadvantages. Since it is much planned and have a proper transactional structure, the people who are very well aware of these structures and have a very good capacity of creating bottlenecks between the transaction, they can actually utilize those systems and can draw or hack the systems and can become an intruder between the transactions. There are B2B transactions in the businesses which must go offline to complete certain steps of an individual process. There are certain things which can't happen and you have to go and do those transactions manually. It can lead to server failures as well. Since it is dependent on multiple systems and your information are stored somewhere, and if there is any failure and there is no backup stored for the same, there could be a huge loss if server failure happens, because all the informations will go away. As an example, let's suppose you are storing all your data on Google Cloud and Google Cloud server fails. Now all of a sudden they are not able to fetch out the information which you saved on their server, and everything is deleted. Now you no longer have access to all the important files that you had saved, all the important photographs of yours which you had saved. Everything is gone. So it becomes extremely important to maintain them, to keep backups of them. Otherwise, you could face a huge amount of loss, because every information of yours is digitally stored somewhere and it has to be protected. Otherwise, hackers can fetch out those informations and you will be openly available for any type of attack, which could be digital in nature. So when you dealt with two type of systems, one is OLTP, second one is OLAP. OLAP primarily deals with analytical processing, whereas OLTP primarily deals with transaction processing. So the difference between the two is, when you are doing OLTP type of transaction, they will be mostly operational in nature, wherein it has a set defined task and it will always be doing that defined task. Wherein when you are talking about OLAP, here things can change because you have to drive it analytically. And your analytical mindset might need certain extra information out of it, certain extra data cuts out of it, certain extra aggregations out of your data. So you might have to change it frequently. It could be manually or it could be automated as well. But lot of changes will continuously happen in case of OLAP, whereas in OLTP, the processes will be set and there will be a sequential processes that will be created which will not be changed that frequently. So to summarize the two type of structures, let's quickly understand what is the difference between the two type of data. When you are talking about OLTP, they will be storing current data because they have to complete the transaction and everything is done. Whereas when you are talking about OLAP, they are also interested. We are also interested in trend and analysis. So it has to store the historical data as well. When you are doing OLTP, it will be short database transaction, will not be storing too much of the information, will be completing the task and things are over. But when you are dealing with OLAPs, you will be doing long database transactions which will be fetched from multiple sources. Information has to be collected, will have to be aggregated and will have to be analyzed. When you are talking about OLTP, normalization is promoted, which basically means all the data should be of same type and same structure. Whereas when you are talking about OLAP, normalization has no place because you might be dealing with different type of data all at once. You might be comparing ages and salaries as well, and then employees' contact information as well. And all these type of data are completely different in nature. And you can be parallelly analyzing completely different type of data at a single point of time. You will be dealing with high volume of transactions when you are dealing with OLTP, because multiple servers will be interacting and will be completing those transactions. Whereas when you are going through OLAP, your primary focus is analysis. So you will be taking few of the transactions to analyze in detail. transaction recovery is extremely necessary in OLTP. As an example, when you are doing a net banking transaction and it doesn't happen, then it has to be recovered. Otherwise, your balance will be deducted and you will not get the money. But so this has to be recovered if there is a bottleneck and if transaction failed. So it has to be maintained that way. But when you are talking about OLAP, there is no such need of transaction recovery, because if something fails, you can refresh the data because it doesn't have that much sophistication. But its results are important because it actually will tell you how things are moving on. So you can do recovery. You don't need to go into recovery mode. You can actually go back and take out the transaction once again without having too much of the trouble. Now, to understand OLTP transaction, how this transaction is processed or how it happens sequentially, we need to understand the background of it. The essence of transaction program is that it manages data that must be left in a consistent state. Everything has to be consistent in nature and has to be executed sequentially. Other transaction monitor functions include deadlock detections and resolutions, because if there is a deadlock anywhere in the consistency, that has to be taken care of and has to be resolved right away. Otherwise, that complete transaction will not process. There are different type of processings that happens in OLTP. One is contrasted with batch processing. To summarize what batch processing is, let's take one example. Let's suppose there is one store which has many consumers coming to the to them. People are coming to the store, they are doing storing, and they are storing all the information in a system. Now that system is storing all the information. Now that information to be available in the database, what they are doing is, at the end of the day, when store closes, they processes all the information to the database. Now database has all the information, but that information has been passed to the database all at once in a single file structure. So such type of structure is known as a batch system, wherein all data is processed at once and is not generally real time. You are taking all whole of the data and you are passing that data to the system. So batch processing involves processing several transactions at the same time. A single time all the transactions are happening. So there is a time delay because you are not processing it as and when they are happening. You are actually storing it somewhere, and when your time permits, you are allowing all the transaction to go into the system. Whereas there is other type of processing as well, which is known as real-time batch processing, wherein at a real point of time, when transactions are being captured, they are stored and then passed on in batches. So one set of group is collected, it is being passed, then another set of group is collected and then it is passed, and it goes in the sequential manner. Real-time batch processing has fewer errors because you generally keep on collecting, and there is a lower sequence when you collect the data and you store it right away. So there is continuous flowing of the data that happens into the system, and there are less chances that you will be doing some errors while processing the data, because you are not storing anywhere in between. You are just processing the data right away. It is more difficult to maintain the real-time processing in the system though, because it needs a continuous process where, or continuous ETL system from where your data should be collected and your data should be passed on to the databases. There are few features of online transaction processing. Few of these features which are very, very important are rapid response. They should be quick and have a very rapid response. The turnaround time in these cases are very less. As an example, you did one transaction online, you took out certain balance out of the money, it has to be immediately impacted or immediately updated into the system of the banks so that all the transactions remain in line. So it has to be rapid with very less turnaround time. It has to be reliable, because if it fails, there will be information which will be stuck in between and you won't have the complete picture of the information. It has to have inflexibility. Why? Every transaction to be processed in the same way regardless of the user. So if there are multiple people who are accessing the net banking all at once, their transaction should have exactly same manner of processing. Otherwise, there will be different, if there is a different way of processing, there could be some glitches in some systems and that will ultimately lead to the wrong information being populated in the background systems. It has to have a controlled processing units, because if it becomes uncontrollable, you will not be able to identify where issues are happening. And if everything is controlled and in sequential manner, you can find out where exactly issues are coming from. It has to be consistent. That means has to execute every process sequentially and in effective manner and in consistent manner. If in case there is any integrity that is being compromised at every level or at any stage, then it can lead to the failure of the transaction processing, which ultimately can create a lot of confusion during the system, because there is a problem at a certain point of time that happened while processing of the transaction. There has to have a durability as well, because once the transaction completes successfully, it is called as committed transaction, and it changes to the state survive failures. So basically you have to key these statuses should have to be maintained and updated accordingly, so that the people who are actually identifying the issues or identifying the processes, they would be able to understand that if everything is in line or not, if everything has been processed successfully or not. Your OLTP transaction has to follow concurrency. That means multiple users at a single point of time should be able to do the similar type of transaction. If this is not happening, it will create a lots and lots of confusion and lots of problems. As an example, when Vodafone is providing you the services to call anybody, if in case you are trying to do call to somebody else, and at the same point of time someone else is also trying to call his or her friend, then it should not be a problem to do these two transactions parallelly, because I am doing my action, that person is doing his action, and if Vodafone doesn't allow that, then at a single point of time multiple people will not be able to communicate all at once. OLTP transactions has to be concurrent in nature. That means if a single user is doing similar type of transaction or a multiple user is doing similar type of transaction, there should not be any issue while doing such transactions. As an example, if I am doing a call at a particular time and there is someone else who is using the same service provider and is doing the call at the same time, there should not be any disturbances between the two calls. Each of the calls should happen successfully with the respective users. So this is a concurrent nature, and there should not be any problem while doing the concurrent transactions. There should be storing and retrieving information with respect to each and every OLTP transaction. Storing and retrieving information from a TPS must be efficient and effective. Why this is important? Because if every information is being stored and if there is any glitch, those information can be identified and those glitches can be identified and then can be taken care of separately and can be updated separately. As an example, if I did a transaction and I withdrew certain money, that money got negated from my account, but actually ATM machine didn't give me anything because it was short of note. Now what happened is the account actually deleted the money from my balance, but I didn't got the money. Now if this OLTP transaction is validated, they would know that actually the amount was deducted and it was not dispersed to the consumer. It at a certain point of time it failed, and when this information is fetched, the balance will be restored. But if this information is not stored properly, it will be difficult to retrieve such information, and balance will be deducted and it will be a huge loss to the consumer base. There has to be databases and files which are maintained sequentially for each OLTP transaction, so that they can easily be identified and maintained in a proper structure. There has to have few features with respect to OLTP transaction. Those features which becomes extremely important and efficient with respect to OLTP transactions, these are, they have to have good data placement. That means if you have created multiple processes, at every process or every point, data placement should be accurate and appropriate. If data is not placed appropriately at every step, there will be difficulties and issues with respect to data identification. There should be short level transaction. That means you should not have too much of the things happening in the same transaction. Otherwise, it will be difficult to maintain it. It has to have real time backups, because if it is not maintaining real time backups, the data might get lost and important information will be difficult to retrieve. It has to have high normalization, that means every data has to be managed in a same way and has to be treated in a similar manner. Your historical data has to be archived somewhere so that if in case there is any information that happened and any issue that cropped up, the historical information will help you identify what exactly happened during that point of time. And you have to have good hardware configurations, because lower hardware configuration will not be able to process high amount of processings and ultimately will lead to lot of failures. Then you have to maintain relational structure between the different files that you are maintaining, and these files are, first is master file, which contains information about the organization business situation, what type of situation you are dealing with. As an example, when you are withdrawing the money from your bank account, that is one business situation that you are dealing with, and that has to be maintained in master file, that how this particular transaction has to be conducted or processed. Then there has to be transaction file, which is a collection of transaction record. All the transaction record where withdrawal of money happened has to be stored in a transaction file. Then there has to be report file, which contains data that has been formatted. So if there is any information that has been formatted, data has to be saved in a report file. Then there is a work file, which is a temporary file. As an example, if in case while transferring the information from one source to another source, you need a temporary source which stores that information for a particular time period, that can be stored in a temporary file. Once information from the temporary file is retrieved, then that temporary file can be deleted. Then there could be program file, which contains the instruction for the processing of the data, how process should be obtained, how process should happen so that your transaction completes successfully. To maintain all the files or to maintain all the data which contains all the transactions, these OLTP has to be maintained in data warehouses which stores these information or this which stores this data. Now this data is saved in data warehouse in various forms. Those forms are, data could be stored in consolidated manner, where data are organized with consistent naming convention, that this is a transaction file, this is a withdrawal file, this is a credit card file, and so on. Then there could be subject oriented, as an example, wherein organizes only key businesses information from operational sources. As an example, where credit card transactions are happening, all those informations are saved in subject oriented files. Then there are historical, where real time TPS represents the current value at time, or value at a particular information of time is saved. As an example, I did a transaction at 3 p.m. By 3 p.m. and 1 minute, my transaction was complete. By 3 p.m. and 2 minute, the transaction was updated into the system. So these time factors should be stored so that it can easily be obtained at what point of time the transaction happened and what exactly happened with the transaction. Then there will be read-only files. Once data are moved into the data warehouse, it becomes read-only so that no one can change it. Because if there is anybody who has the access to the data, who has the power to update the data, they can update it and can change it accordingly. As an example, let's suppose you are a banker and you have the flexibility to update anybody's balance information. You might go to your bank account, you update the balance from 1000 to 10,000. Now this information, this transaction has no footprints anywhere and it will be difficult to identify, but since you had the right or to edit the value, you updated it. Now you, nobody can deny that you had the balance of 10,000, but it will be difficult for bank to understand how this 10,000 came from 1000 value and how the value changed from where this amount came into your system. So it has to be read only for the system so that it can't be updated or changed once transaction gets processed. There has to have backup procedures, because if there is anything that happened, any wrong information that happened, these backup systems actually helps you maintain the originality of the data. So our data flow diagram of backup and recovery procedures follow in this case. Well-designed backup and recovery procedures is put into use to prevent data loss. As an example, if you have you have multiple steps, and every step you are doing a backup and recovery procedure. So if there is a failure at certain process, then recovery can be obtained from the same process only. The recovery process can rebuild the system when it goes down. So if there is something that goes down, some transaction got declined, you actually were doing an online transaction and in between your Wi-Fi stopped, the transaction stopped. So if this information is captured and there is a backup that the credit card amount was deducted, then that credit card company will re-put the balance into your credit card because they know that the transaction was not complete and it has to be redirected back into your system. So the recovery process has to be followed for everything or every process recovery. The TPS must be able to detect and correct these errors. So when there are multiple steps, at every step there should be identification of the defect that happened and how that defect happened and how these defects will be corrected and to what level. As an example, you did a transaction of 1000 rupees, but you paid in two ways, 500 directly paid from one source, 500 paid from other source. The other source payment was blocked and it was a failure. So ultimately, when there is recovery that is happening, the recovery should happen for only 500 rupees and not for complete 1000 rupees. So a journal has to be maintained to audit the trials, that every transaction is actually vetted and audited. If it is audited, then it will be easier to maintain that all the transactions are valid transaction in nature. There has to have checkpoints that after every successful step, this checkbox appears and this transaction or this part of the process was successfully completed. There has to have recovery manager that if there is a checkpoint failure, then at what point failure happened and how to recover from that place. So when you are dealing with recovery, there will be two way of recovery. One is backward recovery and one is forward recovery. As an example, when you are doing a backward recovery, you used to undo unwanted changes to the databases. As an example, you did a transaction of 500 rupees, 500 got deducted from your account, but that payment failed. This is a backward recovery because that amount has to be updated back into your system because it was deducted from the source. Now for the forward, it starts with a backup copy of the database. As an example, the further step has to be maintained and you know the backup step or backup copy for the further step, that what had to happen after this step was completed. From the backup copy, you would understand that the next step should be this and this will, the recovery will actually be done for the next step. So when you are doing backup procedures, there is a relationship identification that happens. These type of relationship identification is generally known as grandfather father son relationship, which is a two level identification. As an example, you did a transaction which followed five processes. In between five processes, there was a failure. In the third one, the first process will be considered as a grandfather one, the second one will be father one, and third one will be son's one. Now this son's process failed, so you will go back to the father's one to understand what exactly happened. And if you are unable to identify from father's node, you will go one step back to grandfather's node to understand what exactly happened. If you are able to identify it properly, then only you will be able to do complete recovery of the process. There are partial backups as well, which only occurs when part of the master files are backed up. If there are certain parts which are backed up, then these partial backups will be happening. It usually backed up to magnetic tape or regular time because they don't need a huge amount of storage devices. You store them in a partial nature into certain hardware devices or in certain tape forms and in many other storage devices forms only. A completed transaction, since the last backup are stored separately and are called journals or journal files, so they will be stored separately and they will be kept for references purpose. As an example, we did certain transaction 5 years back, this thing happened, so they will be saved as a journals, so that if in case you need to refer to anything from the past history, you will be able to refer to the journals from the system and you will be identify what exactly happened, and then you can take the actions accordingly. Updating in a batch. When you will be updating a batch, the two stages in a batch processing are, which happens when you update a batch, collecting and storage of the transaction data into a transaction file. So when you are storing a transaction file, you will be collecting it and you will be storing it. Processing the data by updating the master file. So actually you will be doing two steps. You will be collecting the information of the transaction file and you will be storing the information of the transaction file, so that you have all the information about a transaction file. And then processing of the data by updating the master file. Once you have the transaction information, you will update the master file accordingly, so that your master file have all the information with respect to the transaction history. Updating in batch requires a sequential access, though. A sequential process will be followed and each step will be updated sequentially. It's a very time consuming because every step will be happening one by one, and it includes a secondary storage medium, which can be sometimes expensive because you are storing a lot of information and lot of sequential steps. And if in case you are storing it in some third party servers or some third party storage devices, they will ask for the money for the usage that you are doing onto their servers. Then updation can also happen in real time, wherein immediate processing of the data will be happening. Large amount of users who are simultaneously performing transactions to change the data, those informations will be stored in the systems parallelly. It involves the sending of the transaction data to an online database in a master file, which will be storing all this information. The storage device starts data in a particular location based on the mathematical processes or procedures that they follow. Secondary storage medium that can store large amount of data can provide quick access, and it requires a user-friendly interface, because user-friendly interface makes it easy for the users to actually interact with it, and it's important for rapid response time because user is able to interact properly without having too much of the hiccups, so it can easily respond with respect to the backend transaction. OLTP transactions generally happens in the merchant payment system. Merchant payment system uses it in a lot larger way. As an example, when you are doing a credit card transaction, that is a merchant payment transaction, wherein merchant is paying on behalf of you and then your bank is paying to the merchant. So Visa, in this case, when you are using a Visa credit card, Visa is a merchant for you. Visa is doing the payment on your behalf, and then bank will be paying a fee to the Visa. It can be divided into two groups: wholesale payment system and retail payment system. Transactions initiated between banks, corporations, governments, and other financial services, they are generally comprises of these type of transactions. High value wholesale payments flow through the three major interbank fund transfer systems. Clearing house interbank payment systems like CHIPS, they do high value wholesale payments. Wholesale payment basically means when you're doing too many transactions with single go, and generally banks do it with the merchant systems. As an example, when Visa is doing a lot of transactions for you, they will be dealing with your bank with respect to wholesale payments, wherein your bank will be doing whole set of payment all at once to the Visa. So let's suppose all the consumers of Visa credit card did 1 lakh transaction. They will not be asking the money from the bank after each transaction. Instead, they will give a whole sum that these are 1 lakh transactions that happened, and you have to pay for these 1 lakh transaction. Now bank will be giving the money for those 1 lakh transaction to the Visa. So this type of structure is known as wholesale payment structure. Retail electronic payment systems encompass those transactions involving consumers. So when you are dealing with ATMs, when you are dealing with credit cards, when you are dealing with point of sale machines, like when you are doing transaction, let's suppose in DMart, you will be dealing with point of sale machine. There also you are interacting with a merchant payment system. So all these are part of merchant payment systems. So we discussed digital data, the type of data, how processing happens, what is OLAP, what is OLTP. So let's quickly summarize what we learned. We learned following are the data types that are used for digital media products. These are text, hypertext, audio, graphics, video, animations, and video productions. There are digital storage devices, there are tape drives where data is stored, and then there are big volumes of data which are stored somewhere. Then there are processing systems to deal with such type of processings. There are two types of processing system. One is OLAP, which is online analytical processing system, which not only processes the data, it collects the data, stores the data in somewhere, then save it in form of cubes, and then is used for analytical purposes. Then there are OLTP transactions, which are continuous transactions, which has a client and server type of structure, wherein it is used for short transactions, and those transactions actually has a well-defined task to follow. The OLAP, OLTP, and the type of data that you deal with, the processes that you have to maintain, when the data is being collected, how it is being processed. There were so many learnings in the today's session. I hope you learned these things and you have a limited doubt with respect to OLTP and OLAP transaction. Understanding of these transactions become extremely important because it has a different nature. Their storage is different, their utilization is different, and their output is different. And ultimately, the task that you will be doing with these type of transaction will be completely different. If you understand these, you will be able to understand how data processes happen at the background. I hope you learn all these things efficiently. Thank you.